Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
Someone who demonstrates the pride of abilities has too high of an opinion about their own abilities or performance. This is so dangerous. All of these are dangerous, but this one is really one because we get so high and mighty over the things that we do, the things that come by our hand, because understand that God uses people to bring forth things. He uses people to bring forth inventions. He uses people to write out his word. And, you know, in the first place, he used people to write out the word of God. He used people nowadays to come up with all type of cures for medicines and diseases and all of that stuff. So he uses people. But this is where it gets dangerous. You got to understand that God used you. If you put that in your mind that God used you, then you'll be okay. But this is how people, it gets dangerous. People start to say, well, if it wasn't for me putting in these long hours, it would have never gotten done. If it wasn't for I or my ability to preach this way, I would have not won 500 souls to Christ. Praising the Lord, but as soon as I walked in, because of the glory of my life, they all fell down to the ground. See, this is where we get in trouble, because we get too puffed up and drunk that God used us, because there was a point in time that God could trust you with his power. There was a point in time that you were humble and you recognized and gave glory all to God. But now somewhere along the way, we begin to look at ourselves as now God. I am God. We don't see it. Our actions and our heart are screaming, God, I don't need you, because it's by my hand that you've done it. You walk into a service, you talk to people, you don't lay hands, people don't got healed, they don't got cured from all type of things, and you almost want people to reach down and kiss your finger.
My Lord.
It's all ability. Now, what about pride of faith? Pride of faith. To have the pride of faith, it is to have too high of an opinion of facial appearance or beauty. The person who demonstrates this quality has an expression of lofty look. Ezekiel 28:7 talks about that. He says, Ezekiel 28:7. I've repeated that because I know some people are taking notes. Ezekiel 28:7. Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. Psalms 10:4 also talks about that, and it says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. I like that one, Psalms 10:4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. He lets us know right then and there we can get prideful off of our appearance.
My Lord.
Have you met some people who are just beautiful? I mean, it just seemed like God put their bodies back together symmetrically. I mean, beautiful hair, I mean, beautiful eyes, skin, not a blemish or anything. But yet, you look at them and you almost want to pay them a compliment. I'm telling you, people of God, I'm a woman, and I love my husband, and I'm a heterosexual. But if I see somebody that is beautiful, I pay them a compliment.
Yeah.
Because I recognize beauty. I know God. Yeah. And I say, my God, you are gorgeous. God just really loves you. Look at you, your beautiful hair. I know you give God all the glory for what he has done. I know you pay it back to him in worship. I begin to let that be a conversational starter, because I recognize you just don't know what is going on in people's lives. There are some people who you think are gorgeous, but yet when they look at themselves in the mirror, they want to kill themselves because they don't think, come on. Mind and say, you are too yellow, you are too dark, you ugly, look at your fat arm, look at you, because
my God, my God.
I wish I had your hips, I wish I had your lips, you know, and they're like, no, I don't see it, you know, but let me tell you, people of God, that's why I pay compliments, and I pay compliments men as well, but I do it in front of my husband. We let people know, men or women, because men struggle with that as well. There are men that think that they're ugly as well. Oh, yeah, there are men that think that they are not worthy of having a relationship because they've been molested, abused, because they're confused.
Yes, God.
We come to shake, and anybody who comes before us, we come to lift up the name of the Lord, and we let them know they're important.
Right. Yes, preach, woman of God.
Let that be known. But back to what I'm talking about, the pride of faith. Have you ever seen so beautiful and you go to pay them a compliment and you can't even really get one word in because as soon as they open up their mouth, they telling you how pretty they are. They letting
Jesus.
You know how you for their hair is. They letting you know how they got on they got on some red bottoms and how they nails are naturally manicured. And, oh, yeah, and I just use, I'm this, you know, I met, there was one lady that, I'm not going to say no names because you just never know who, but there was one lady that was a part of a ministry I was a part of, and she demanded, this was not her name, but she demanded people call her Miss Pretty.
My God.
She was introduced. I mean, I would see visitors, never been to this church before, just coming in to hear a word of God, maybe even get saved, and she walks up to them instead of giving God the glory, instead of inquiring about, are they okay? Can she pray for them? How you doing? My name is Miss Pretty. You can call me Miss Pretty. Oh, you like my makeup? Oh, yeah. I mean, and this would be her. I'm like, whoa, Jesus. And God talks about that. God says that. They do not seek after him, for God is not in all of his thoughts. We got to be careful because we got to, I mean, honestly, you can Google it. All it takes is one car accident. All it takes is for the fire to, all it takes is for your home to catch on fire while you sleep. All it takes is one third degree burn. All it takes is for you to be driving or riding on the train and the train derails. All it takes is for you to be walking down the street and a mad dog comes and chews your face off. That's all it takes. Beauty is, let me tell you something, if you don't have the true glory of God upon your life and you think you're beautiful, you are making yourself ugly already.
Amen.
People who are beautiful, but when they open up their mouth, I mean, you don't even have to know someone directly. You can go on reality TV. There's some gorgeous people on reality TV. But you see how they acting up and cursing and fighting and makes them ugly in the sight of God. Your mouth can make you look like a heathen. And then I'm moving on, because this is a lot, but then I'm almost finished, though. It says pride of grace. Pride of grace. This is when a person is too high-minded because of the favor of God or man in your life. Now, I laugh at that because I'm like, how are you going to get prideful over something that's not even yours? God gave you that favor. God is choosing to favor you. Just like he chose to favor you, he can unchoose. So why would you get prideful over a simple decision that can reverse? I don't get that.
My God.
Because of the favor of God or man in their life. This person has an overrated and exaggerated opinion about himself or herself because of mercy. Because of mercy. Surely his mercy endures forever. But who are you to say, you know, God has grace upon my life? And then this is where we abuse it. This is where the doctrine of grace, I believe, comes in. Because then we start preaching about grace and how God covers you. You can do whatever you want. Just accept him as your Lord and Savior. Once saved, always saved. Do whatever you want. You can go ahead and look at some little kids. You can molest. You can pedophile. Sure, you can smoke. You can drink. You can cast your cares into substance abuse. You can go ahead and have a pride of life. You can go ahead and have a pride of ability and a pride of faith. You can go ahead and have all of this because it is covered by the favor of God upon your life. And then people get prideful on that.
Amen.
They begin to operate. And they forget that this is just the grace of God. Surely he's long-suffering. Surely does. God wants grace to abide over you, but he also says his grace is sufficient, but it won't last always.
Amen.
Like I always say, if you think grace lasts always, then look at the grave. Because there comes a time where you're appointed to die. You're appointed to meet the Lord, whether it's being caught up in the second coming or whether it's because your life is just going to end. But you've got to now hold account for how you lived your life on here. Were you so caught up in your abilities, caught up in what you can do and what you possess and how you earned this education, but you forgot about praying for people in Ethiopia. You forgot about people are crying out for the word of God in China, how people are being murdered and persecuted, and how they're being poured acid on them and burned alive because they simply say that they're a Christian.
Amen, yes. Amen.
Yes. Yes. And then you can have the pride of family. That kind of ties in with the pride of life, but it's more distinct. When you have the pride of family, that's when you have too high esteem of your relatives or kin. In this instance, you will have an exaggerated opinion of loftiness about your family. I know somebody right now that loves their family. I mean, you walk in their office, nothing but pictures, and just so happened their mother, who's not living anymore, but she was a great intercessor. And she wants everybody to know that her mother was the greatest intercessor at that church. I mean, on her computer, the desktop background picture is a picture of her mama laying on hands. She got pitched. I mean, seriously, you walk in her office and she's like, oh, yeah, look at this. This is my mom. She was the greatest intercessor. She was laying hands on. Oh, boy. See, people were still seeking after my mama. When she was in the hospital, they wanted her because she had the ability and the grace to touch people's wombs and they would become pregnant. So people were seeking her in the hospital and while my mother was on the bed because my mother was just so awesome. When she introduced herself, she said, you don't even know me. I'm Mama Jean's child. I'm Mama Jean. So you don't know who Mama Jean is? My Mama Jean was the greatest intercessor of all time.
My God.
Wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
I'm sitting here like, oh, my God. If you didn't know who Mama Jean was, after that 30-second conversation. But that's being pride of family. When you have somebody famous in your family, maybe you have somebody being used of the Lord. Now, all of these examples are tailored to Christianity, but it can also be secular. You may have somebody who's a successful business owner, a celebrity, or a fashion designer. You may have a cousin. I remember years and years ago, I guess when all of this genealogy thing was becoming popular, and you were able to trend or connect who's related to who. And everybody discovered they was related to Stevie Wonder. Or everybody I talked to, somebody was related to some type of person in Boys to Men. Or somebody was related to Aaliyah and Whitney and Michael Jackson. I mean, I talked to everybody. Yeah, you know, he's my great-great-great-great cousin through marriage twice. And that's my cousin. So, yeah, Michael Jackson is my cousin. I'm like, really? If you were to talk to Michael Jackson, did he leave you in his will? That's right. That's the truth. You are really related. Show me the money.
Oh, my goodness.
Trying to get dibs on his name, and he don't even know you alive.
Right.
Tell the truth.
And then the next one is pride of wisdom. We can pretty much understand what that is. That's when you have a vain esteem about basically your wisdom. You have a reputation of being wise. Now, there are a lot of people, because I'm young, like us, eventually Cynthia said, I'm not that young, but I'm young. Most people in ministry, you normally see pastors that are like in their 40s, their 50s. We are a young couple. We own that because that's just what we is. We can't change it. And I agree. For my age, I have a lot of wisdom. It was inherited because my mother and father are wise. But I asked for this because I read Solomon and it changed my life.
When amen, I read amen,
Solomon,
amen.
In the offer of 1,000 beasts, I begin to say, whoa, I need that. That's what I need. So I've been seeking the Lord because I realized wisdom will get you the wealth. Wisdom will not only get you the wealth, but it will allow you how to keep it and distribute it and be a good steward of it. So I realized wisdom is just needed in everything. How you buy your groceries, how you budget your income, how you even interact with people, you counsel them, it's needed. So with that being said, I know I got wisdom. This is where I will mess up. If I start tooting my own horn like, huh, you don't know, I got wisdom. You better come to me. I got wisdom. You know what I'm saying? I will begin to mess myself up. If I start putting on Facebook and you know people change their name, I'll be Atel, the wisdom master.
Oh, Jesus. Wow, my God.
Wisdom maker, Atel. I mean, you got people who knew that. If I'm telling you, they need to come out with a list of all the unique names people give themselves. I met there somebody, that name was so long, it cut off. They were trying to put everything in there. John, the Baptist, love God forever. You come to me, you stand before me, you're going to get saved and he'll deliver. I mean, it just got cut off. I'm like, where's the point? What did your mama name you, boy? Put that on there. Stop. I'm telling you, we all can get the pride of wisdom. If you're known to have a reputation, you got to stay humble because I realize the source of my wisdom is not me. It's not because I read books. It's not because I am who I am and my mother and father is who they are, but it's because God gave it to me. And even comparing yourself, if you stay low enough and you recognize who you are, you realize your wisdom is nothing but a vapor. Your wisdom is nothing but the size of maybe a mustard seed compared to God's wisdom. His ways and his thoughts can't even be comprehended, can't even be measured, can't even be wrote down. Even the Bible said Jesus did so many miracles he wasn't even able to be captured. So if he could do all of these miracles, if he could move in all of these different ways, I'm telling you, his ways are not even able to be comprehended.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, a person, you'll meet somebody, and the first thing what they want to do is name drop. I hate that. Oh, boy, that gets under my skin. I'm talking to you trying to have a normal conversation, and you start name dropping. I talk to somebody, we know somebody who said, yeah, you know, I'm the prophet. I'm their advisor. I've advised Jay-Z and Beyonce, and T.D. Jakes has even called me in there. And I've even been invited to the White House for my counsel because they need my wisdom. And I'm like, really? Okay, cool.
Wow.
But, okay, I'm moving on. Pride of knowledge, which is usually hand-in-hand with wisdom, is just talking about how somebody is prideful or have a high exaggeration over their knowledge. Now, knowledge can be because of knowledge of the Word of God, because, you know, I know people, and I guess you say, man, Pastor Israel, you know, all types of people. Yeah, I do. I come across a lot of people because the Lord wanted me to learn how not to be and how to be.
So amen, amen.
Tangled with a lot of them, the good and the bad. But there's the pride of knowledge. So with that being said, it could be the Word of God. I know somebody that knows the Word front and back, can preach the Word of God without using the Bible. Not just preach the Word of God, but can know where to cite it. Like Proverbs 18:32. I mean, I've seen it with my own eyes. Got up there and just stood. And I wrote down the scriptures. I said, I'm going to catch him up. I know he's just spitting out some numbers. But I wrote down the scriptures, and the dude, I mean, it was exactly what the Word said. I said, woo! So I've met people like that. So it could be knowledge of the Word of God, but just knowledge, period. There are people out here that just know a lot about everything. Have you ever met somebody that just know odd facts, how much something will weigh, or how many stoplights are in America? I mean, just simple things. They just know a lot. They just make it their business to study the Guinness World Record. They know who the tallest man is, and they know, you know, what flowers to eat in the forest. And I'm just like, where are you from? What do you do? You know, but that's just their ability. Thank God for it. We need people who are smart.
Yeah.
But when you start to rely on your own thinking and your own knowledge and you begin to now exalt yourself above the Lord, that's the issue. The issue with pride is that you begin to outrun God. The issue with pride is that you begin to think that you're higher than God. You don't need God.
Yeah.
So now we have the pride of pace. You say, what? The pride of pace. P is in pear, A is in apple, C is in carrot, E is in elephant. Pace. There is a pride of pace where you begin to rate yourself on how fast you are going compared to others. Oh,
We've all done that.
I tell you, we're transparent. Apostle and I, we've done it.
That's right.
We rate ourselves. And you will find that those used by this form of pride feel they are far ahead of others and that others are incompetent to them.
My
See, but I'll be honest, I've done it both ways. I've done it where I feel like, you know, I'm above them. They don't even know who I am. You not know who you're standing in the presence of. You know, and the Lord would smote me that night, and he said, who are you? do you not know who you're standing in the presence of? God has to humble me. And then I've done it the other way, where I didn't feel like I was deserving of anything. And I said, God, they're always there above me. They know more words than me. They know how to pray more efficiently. Yeah. And then the Lord had to calm me down, and he said, April, but your heart is pure. You don't rely on your etiquette words. You don't rely on your personality. You're just saying, God, use me. So I've done it both ways, but this particular way is when you compare yourself to somebody else and you pace yourself ahead of everybody else, and you like to say, okay, huh, I'm ahead of them, and they're not even ahead of me. They're not even close to me. God is saying, watch yourself. Watch your accomplishments. Yes, he's going to propel you. He's going to bless you, whether it's in your schoolwork, whether it's in your job. You could have came in and then 2 months later got a promotion. And somebody that's been working it for 10 years still trying to get acknowledgement from the boss. That's not a reason for you to get prideful. It is not your own ability. God has a plan for everything that he does. If he pushes you forward, if he gives you accomplishments, if he gives you achievements, it is for a purpose. He wants you to be in the limelight so that you can give him the glory in front of other people. He may put you in that promoted position so that you can have more of an impact and influence to do things his way instead of corporate America's way.
Amen.
So we take our eyes off of that, and we begin to now look at what we achieved. Look at how we went to seminary, we went to Moody, and we got our doctorate degree, and we went and we went to T.D. Jakes, and he flew you in, and now you've been able to perform on his stage. Some people rate themselves like that. Some people say, if I can only make it to T.D. Jakes' stage, then I've made it. I mean, seriously. That's what people do. If I could only get before him, then I know that my platform will be good. God is saying you don't measure yourself to get ahead. You don't measure yourself to get people in front of other people. He said measure yourself according to what I say. That's why in worship I tell God, and when I usher him in, I say, God, I want to hear you speak. I don't care if it's even rebuke, but I need to know where I am with you. And the Lord will speak. He will speak and tell me, hey, prayer, I'm proud of you, faithful, keep enduring. Or he will say, hey, prayer, you made me cry. April. Pastor April made Jesus cry. Yes, I did. And I have done it many times. And he told me that I made him cry because of my lack of faith and some things I was believing him for. It truly displeases him when we do not have faith. It truly displeases him when we choose to say, well, Lord, are you capable of doing this? I had to learn a hard way through rebuke. And I'm telling you, if you love the Lord the way I love the Lord, and I hope you love him even more, let us be in a race in that way to love who loves Jesus the most. Now, that's a beautiful race to be in.
Amen.
But if you speaks to you, and he says that you displease him, it should be so heavy upon your heart. It should be like you killed your own closest best friend. I mean, honestly, it should really grieve you. So that's why I love to hear the Lord speak, because it lets me know where I am with him. Some people, I don't understand why they don't ask, God, where am I with you? Where am I? Am I in your
for my life?
God, where do I measure up to where I'm supposed to be at this age and this hour? I don't understand why people don't do. My husband and I, we like to call temperature checks in our marriage, where we always stay in tune with each other. We do a list, you know, every few weeks or every month or something like that. We say, babe, how do you feel? Am I fulfilling your desire in this area? Are we communicating? Do you feel like I've neglected you this week? Or, you know, we love to stay on top of each other, but that's the same way with God. Do temperature checks. Check your temperature. God, am I pleasing you right now? Am I teaching what you want me to teach? Am I preaching what you want me to preach? Am I getting prideful? Am I selling myself short? I'm telling you, God will answer you. If he don't talk to you audibly, he will show you in a dream. He's shown me many times me doing certain things in a kitchen. And if you know about your dreams, if he shows you in a kitchen, that's considered the heart, because usually the kitchen of the home is the heart of the home.
Amen.
If he shows you doing different activities in the kitchen, he shows you yourself. And there were some things I was saying, some things I was doing. And if he shows you using a microwave in the kitchen, that means fast forward, instant. Maybe he's showing you you need to slow down. You're impatient. You don't know how to take the slow way. You know, you don't want to go into the oven and wait for it to really cook with the regular fire and heat of a stove, but you want everything instant.
Teacher Paul.
So with that, I'm teaching, baby. I'm teaching. No. See, that's a pride of family. But praise God. But I thank God. I thank God for that, because the Lord will show you if you want it to be shown. And then we have the pride of success. You see how a lot of this connects, but they're all different. Pride of success. That's when you're high-minded because of your accomplishments. That could be in your ministry. Some people rate themselves when they get a mega ministry. They're successful. And then I heard somebody preach, and I loved it. They said, how can you say you're successful? You got a mega ministry of 15,000 people, but your city alone is 1.5 million. Seriously. How can you? You are failing at that point. You want to say you're successful because, you know, the average church membership is, you know, if you count all the dozens of millions of churches, you know, it's usually averaging 200 members. So now you got 15,000 membership. You got a choir that's 150 voice strong, and you want to say, look at me. You want to stick your chest out and say, I am successful. Your population of your city is over a million strong. That is failing.
That's right.
So before you begin to stick your chest out over successes, no matter what it is, if it's in ministry, because in 1 year you flew and spoke in 30 churches and you were invited to speak in Africa and 8,000 people got saved, so what? There's 6 billion people in the world.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm just telling it like it is.
Preach. You're preaching.
You have the pride of race. Pride of race, like running a race. Pride of race. This causes people to exaggerate themselves because of their race or creed. So this is talking about the nature of who you are. This is talking about your race, your ethnicity. Do you not know people like to boast about who they are? This is insane. God created you. He knew what nationality he wanted you to be. And because God chose all of this for you, you have the nerve to now say or boast because of you're black or you're white or Native American or Asian or Indonesian, whatever it is. And you want to now say that you are more privileged over another race. God does not tolerate prejudice. He does not tolerate racism. He is a God that created us all. And that shows the true beauty of it because he showed and proved to us that he's capable of creating multi-races.
Amen.
Not just one. What a boring world this would be if we all was the same. I don't know about you, but I love meeting new people. I love the Caucasians or the whites. I love the Europeans. I love the Indians. I love the Native Americans. I love the Creoles, and I love the Haitians. And I love because I want to learn about your culture. In a lot of ways, I'm ignorant to it because I'm not exposed to it. I see stuff on TV. I may read something, but I want to hear from your mouth. What do you do? How do you do it? I want to visit because they are talented people. They have so many unique abilities, especially those that are not living in America. If you travel abroad, you get to learn how they live off the earth. It is such a beautiful thing because everything over here in America is processed. It goes through some type of process. Even when it says organic, it says it's processed. You know, you don't know what to trust on these labels. But when you travel abroad, you get to see how they live off the land like God intended, how they go and they pick weed. Or they grow these plants and they do everything by hand. I love to eat and I love to watch people cook in new recipes. And I've been watching lately how people make bread and they make certain herbs and spices and how the women, it's an all-day process, but they love it. And then I'm telling you, some of the best food you can eat is overseas when they're poor. They don't have much anyway, but they know how to really, I guess, put that elbow grease in it. And I mean, they make some of the best meals that you'll ever taste, and you over here paying $300, $200, $460 for something that would have been free over there.
Yeah.
But God, God is saying, don't discredit other people because of who you are, because you are, and I'm going to take it even further, because you are in America. It doesn't matter what race you are, but simply because you're in America. Some people have the pride of America.
Because we live in a very prominent
and educated and free, protected type country, we like to say that we're better than some of the third world countries. We have protection. Yes, we have running water. Some of our homeless people in America are like living in a penthouse compared to the people, the nations that are living in the third world country.
Amen.
The homeless over here can beg for food, can beg for money. But when you go over some places in India, everybody is poor.
You turn to somebody, man, you got some water? Nope, I ain't got no water either. The whole village don't have water.
Jesus,
they're using stuff to wash themselves up that have already been contaminated with fecal matter and urine. Not to mention insects and bacteria, E. coli. That's one of the things Apostle and I want to do. We want to build water wells, because if you can bring water, that's civilization. If you can bring clean water, can you imagine not having clean water? We waste most of it when we're brushing our teeth. You know, we let the water just run down the drain. We have a leaky pipe. We're slow to fix it. Your toilet keep running. We're slow to fix it. We kind of take it for granted. We use water when we cook, but people don't have that luxury. There are people that have to walk several dozens of miles just to take a jug of water from the next village over. By the time you walk dozens of miles back and you've been walking and tripping and you have the water on spilled out the jug, it's hot. The jug ain't clean anyway, so it's still contaminated.
Uh-huh.
So I'm telling you, this is one of the things that we want to do. We want to bring forth fresh water wells so that we can begin to now talk about how water relates to the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit and we are providing a natural need, they can now be replenished spiritually in a spiritual need.
Yes,
You go over there, like I've talked about it before, you can't go over there to India and China talking about God is good and you got on Gucci glasses and an Aquafina water bottle or, you know, all of this type of nice, cute things that we wear. They'll look at you like you're crazy.
Right.
You got to come over there also just like they are. And after you fed them, after you gave their baby some food and some diapers, after you've given them some hospitable treatment and some medicine, then they'll be open to hear how the Lord will save and provide. But you can't go over there and tell them, God supply all your needs, and that child is dying because they didn't have enough to feed them. God is saying, get your act together. Let's get focused.
Yeah.
So we're not the pride of race that I talked about, the pride of glory. It's in a form of you being high-minded, because of the compliments you received or because of your honor. So because you preach well, that's why I told Apostle and I tell people all the time, I love it. You know, the people have been receptive to the word of God that I preach. Some people say, I love your preaching. You fire baptized and all of this other stuff. And I say, thank you. But I ask them, were you changed by it? I don't do this to tickle your ears. I do this to bring life-changing experiences so that you can say, okay, she made me think today. How can I examine myself according to the word of God? How can I change for the better? I'm telling you, sometimes I preach and it's good and I'm yelling, I'm fussing, and I'm doing all this stuff, and then sometimes I'll bring the word of God and I'm talking. And it may not be a hyperactive type message, but every time I come before the Lord, I'm bringing the word of God, because I realize the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's going to set out to do what it's going to do. It's going to complete it. It's going to cut down sin. It's going to convict hearts, and that's what I want it to do. So I can't get caught up on compliments, because see, people are like that, because everybody's running up behind them. Oh, you preach. Oh, you prophesy. Oh, you did this and that and this and that, and then people begin to get the love. Wobbly head, as I call it. They begin to stretch their neck out and wobble their head like, yes, I did preach, didn't I?
Right.
And you get to now see that change in that person where they will be humble just to receive one compliment. Now because they got a dozen, they think that they are somebody. But let me tell you something. You are not Jesus Christ, because Jesus, he changed the world when he set foot on this. Jesus was the best preacher I ever would know. He's preaching today. Don't you know Jesus still preaches today? He still brings forth the word of God today. He still touches lives today. And you are nowhere close. We are nowhere close to being like Jesus, but we can try our best. I'm telling you, people of God, it is good that people's lives are changed, but we cannot change because their lives have been changed.
That's right.
Amen, amen.
That's right. That's good.
So you have the pride of beauty. You have the pride of beauty. So this is kind of connecting with the pride of faith. The pride of beauty is the same as the pride of faith, but it encompasses more than just your looks. This is more materialistic as well. Not only are you so pumped up about your looks, but you're also pumped up about your ability to get some high-end quality things. Meaning, you know, women, we recognize it as red bottoms. You know, those are the top-of-the-line shoes. You know, if you got on red bottoms, you got money to spend or, you know, all this. I mean, it's so much out there I don't even know all the names for. Because I'm just telling you, I shop at one little store, Ashley Stewart. It caters to the plus-size women, and they have some nice things. I don't have to have all of the fancy tags on as long as it looks nice. That's just me. So, you know, people are so caught up on the name tag. People are so caught up on who made it and Louis Vuitton and all these other people whose names aren't French or German, you know. So God is saying don't have the pride of beauty. It's a dangerous thing because you're now building your foundation on materialistic things.
Yes.
So with that being said, the pride of heart, the pride of heart, this is when having a pride of heart is displayed when someone's heart is lifted up with pride and the emotions are overestimated in one feeling. This brings deception. This brings deception. So Jesus taught about this in in Matthew 23:12. It says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted."
Amen, amen.
So in other words, you become deceived when you begin to let your emotions rule you. That's all this is saying. The pride of heart is where your emotions flow out.
Yes.
So this is how people make some major, major mistakes, being in love, following their heart, what they think, you know, is for them. Some of us have gotten into some real bad situations, been delivered out of them. Thank you, Lord. Some of us may be still in it. When we follow our emotions will get us into fornication. It will get us into adultery, covetousness. It will allow us to do some wicked, deceitful things, lavishness. It will cause us to blaspheme. It will cause us to do some foolish things. When we begin to have the pride of heart, we don't consult the Lord. We say, well, I feel this. You ever heard somebody, you know, they say that this is the will of God for their life? And then I turn around and ask them, I said, but did God tell you? Well, I just feel that this is the way.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel that God is saying this is my husband. I said, no, did God show you? I'm asking you a direct question. Did he show you in a dream? Did he tell you? But they can never answer me because it's always I feel. I feel he's the right man for me.
Yeah.
Wide open. I met a woman. She was like that. She told me her testimony. I feel that he was my husband. And then late at night, he broke her jaw, cracked her rib,
my God.
Pushed her in the closet to die. But God delivered her from her. She's a believer now. But, I mean, this is some of the things that we do. I feel that this is the woman I need to be with. But then you start feeling a little too much, and then you take her to bed before you get married. End up with AIDS and HIV. You know how many people got AIDS and HIV because they felt something that night? They felt something when they connected with that person, and they took it a step further, and they entered into fornication and all of this other stuff.
Jesus.
God is saying, watch out for that. Watch out for that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your word today. So then we have the pride of mind. The pride of mind is when your mind is hardened or stubborn with pride. It is high-minded because of the success and honor. So it's kind of like you have a stubborn pride. It goes hand in hand with the pride of success, but it's dealing more so with your thoughts, with your mind. Nobody can tell you anything because you know it all. Somebody trying to offer you some wisdom, but you say, do you know who I am? I have a doctorate. I think I can figure that out. I have a master's degree. I've been on this job. Such. I am a regional account manager. I can do this. And nobody can tell you anything. Take it and we switch it over to the Christian perspective. You ever met somebody that's been saved? Honey, I've been saved for 73 years, and there's nothing you can tell me.
Yes.
I've met dozens of people like that. Honey, I've been in ministry for 44 years.
Yeah.
I can tell you everything. I've got no part in the way. Jesus is my friend. You can't tell me nothing. And you know what I'm going to say. That's it. I say, yes, ma'am. I say, yes, sir, and I just keep on going. Pride of mind. What about pride of position? All of these work hand in hand, if you haven't noticed. All of them easily. One person can have all of these at one time, too.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Pride of position. This is when you have a position and you become very egotistical because of the position you hold, the authority that comes with it. You always, I mean, I'm sure we all have had somebody that loves power, loves the title. I mean, there's no conversation you can have without them reminding you about the title they have, about the authority that they have. So God is just saying, do not forget who is even over you. You may have superiority. You may have a position over people in the church or even on your job, but God said, I'm still over you. I still look at the crown of your head, and there's no position that you can exalt yourself. There's no promotion that anybody can give you that you will be able to stand toe-to-toe with me because I'm still above you. God is saying, stay humble. You can have the pride of riches. This is easy. Most of us, this is usually how pride is really related. Pride of riches, your materialistic gain, your wealth, whether it's liquidity, you got cash, you got money, you got stocks, you got land, you got possessions. You're just rich. And there's some people that are rich and humble. This is, I mean, you wouldn't even know they were millionaires. They dress humble, they talk humble, they drive humble. But then you got people that want, oh, Lord, they want everybody to know that they're rich. Purposely tip bed. Purposely make a scene. I'm paying for everybody because I got it. You got people who just purposely, lavishly, loudly want to exhibit how rich they are. That is the mother scene. That is the mother sin. I am exposing how the enemy uses to destroy us. The word of God says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Destruction is the best weapon because if you kill somebody, it's over immediately. But when you destroy, it can take, it does greater damage. It affects even more people. You kill one person, not just one person is gone. But if you can bring forth destruction, you can kill nations. You can kill countries. You can kill dozens of people, hundreds of thousands of people at one time. You can kill generations. So destruction is powerful. But when you expose it, the enemy is going to act up. So I expected this, but that's okay. People of God, you are still getting the word of God. So pride of riches, God is saying, don't do that. Don't be puffed up because there's many of us, and I'm just going to prophesy, there's many of us that are going to be connected to this ministry. God is going to bring this ministry up. It's going to be on the front line. It's going to be on TV. People are going to solicit Kingdom Centers International. That's just what it is. I didn't ask for that. Not at all. But when you are doing something for the Lord and you're doing it with a pure heart, he loves to showcase his creation. He loves to bring forth to people's attention that this is what he has created. So that's just something that comes with the territory. But simply because of people being connected in this ministry with a pure heart, hear me again, with a pure heart, you are going to increase riches. You're gonna get rich. You're going to get, because God is going to prepare you if you go through the training process with a pure heart. He's going to bring you out of your wilderness. He's going to bring you out of poverty. He's going to give you a home. He's going to give you a car. He's going to give you liquidity. He's going to give you things and even witty inventions, and you're going to make money off of that. The Bible is so true. The wealth of the wicked is stored up or laid up for the righteous. He's going to use you in fashion, cosmetics, in designs, in inventions, for whatever, gadgets. And it might be just because you're a speaker, you're an evangelist, you're traveling, you're going to get money, but God is saying, watch how your mind stays, your heart stays on him. Don't let the riches change you.
Hallelujah.
God reminds us again, Proverbs 16:18, what I begin with, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is why it says pride comes or goes before destruction. Do you understand that, people of God? How pride goes in through the heart. It is the mother sin. It makes room for all the other sins to make, I guess, to execute in your life, to be exhibited in your life. If pride is there, that's how you can enter into lustful things and end up in adulterous affairs, or fornication, or lying and deceiving and trickery. Pride itself is in destruction, but what it does, it comes in. It holds the door open for all the other stuff to come in. This is why when most of the time, people of God, if you've ever rebuked the demon, or if you ever have been on here and we've rebuked the demon, you know, you'll stay with the ministry and you'll see us rebuke a demon. Usually most people got more than one spirit in them.
That's right.
Because you got to rebuke the spirit of sex or fornication, rebuke the spirit of addiction or drug abuse, but then you also got to rebuke the spirit of pride.
That's right.
And you got to now, so it's at the minimum, it's just two. But it's so easy for legions to be inside of people. So this is why, people of God, you got to stay before him. Stay before him.
Yeah,
humble.
Yeah.
You got to stay before the Lord broken. You got to come before him saying, God, take out any type of pride. And this is just 16
yeah,
that I named.
Yeah.
I'm finished.
Right.
It's just 16 that I named. There's so many other types of ways. I can go into subcategories and create pride categories. There's so many
yeah.
different ways. But for everyone, pride, it doesn't, I guess, go into each and every one of us the same way. Because it's
yeah.
only going to go into us wherever our strength is. We all have different strengths. It might be speaking for some. It might be teaching for some. It might be that you're a great home caretaker. It might be that you're a good marketer. It might be that you're a good leader in some type of way, whether it's in the church or not. Pride is the number one thing that comes against God's kingdom. And let me tell you something else, people of God. Pride is also the only sin that can still be present in the glory of God.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.